12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and all that you seek to teach us. Lord, we thank you for the great salvation you have provided through your Son. And we just thank you for the life that you want to give us as your people, Lord, as we follow you and learn and grow in the knowledge of you. We just pray you would bless this day as we look into this portion of your word. Just, Lord, you know our needs. You know where we're at in our lives. And we just pray that wherever we're at, that your word would minister to our needs this day, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And we began this year looking at these verses and focusing on the principle of being transformed, of being changed, of having a metamorphosis occur in our lives where we're different from the person that we used to be. And we recognize as well how essential that is, that we do become transformed as Christians, that we don't want to just continue on living the way we did before. We want there to be a difference. We want to be able to see a difference. And we realize that that's God's plan for us. And as we've looked in previous messages of all that he's accomplished for us through his death and resurrection, all that that has provided us, it's this essence that he has given us the means of our transformation. It's not us trying to do it ourselves, us just trying to do better. It is him giving us what we need so that we can be transformed. And of course, we've stepped away from this topic for a while as we celebrated the Easter season. And of course, this past month, we had several different missionaries through and presenting their work. And I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed their messages. And I was amazed how well that they seemed to complement each other. But now we want to return to this theme. And we want to start to develop a practical understanding of the process by which we are transformed. We touched on this a bit in what speaks of in Colossians 2 verse 6, that as we've received Christ Jesus our Lord, so we're to walk in him. The basic principles of how we come to Christ for salvation, that's how we're to live our Christian life. And there's a lot of truth encapsulated in that that can be very helpful to us. But for today, we want to return to this passage where we started. And we want to zero in on a specific phrase, which gives us a clear understanding of the task that lies before each of us as believers, as we seek to grow into Christ-likeness. And so in verse 2 we read, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." But it speaks to the thought that we're not to continue to follow the ways and the philosophies of this world. That as believers, we're not to allow this present evil world to continually mold us into its image. Instead, we're to be transformed, to undergo a metamorphosis from what we once were to being a true reflection and representation of Christ to the lost world around us. And really, when you think about it, that's the only accurate way that we can chart our spiritual growth. That just because we might be able to give out a lot of theology, that we have this great head knowledge, just because we have this great amount of activity, that we do a bunch of things, that doesn't mean that we're spiritually mature. That honestly, a person could have a great deal of a head knowledge and do a whole bunch of things, and then come to a point in their life where they realize, oh, I'm doing this, I know this, but I haven't actually come to know Christ as Savior. And it is rather this thought that being transformed, that we become fundamentally different from what we once were, that that's a true sign that we're growing, that we're developing spiritually, that we're making progress. And when that happens, it causes people around us to sit up and take notice, because they know what you have is real, that it is having power in your life. And for ourselves, as we witness the transformation within us firsthand, that it can be such an encouragement to us that we can see, hey, wait a minute, I remember always struggling in this area, and I haven't had struggles with that for a long time. And we can see our progress, we can see how far we've come, where people can even remind us, do you remember what you used to be like? And you think back, yeah, I wasn't that great of a person. But then people see, well, boy, you've changed. Something has happened. And it's not just we've improved ourselves, it's God doing a work within us. That's what we want to see. And so it's the idea, as we are transformed, it helps us to chart how far we've come, but then as well how far we need to go. But now we want to focus on the next phrase of this verse, which simply put is the means by which we are transformed. As it says, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says. And so that's what it says, but what does it mean? And the word renew is not a difficult word to understand. It's simply to make new again. So for us to be transformed, it's this idea that we have to change our minds. We have to change our thinking. We have to make all of that new. And that makes sense because it says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, of a man that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's how a person thinks about what a person dwells upon. That's going to define who that person is. If a person is focused on one thing, then that's going to become the priority in their life. And so it's a thought that if we change our thinking, then we change who we are. So is that all becoming a better Christian is all about? Is it just the power of positive thinking? If I just have a happy thought in my head, then sort of everything's going to transform, and that seems all, just by expression of that, it can't be that. That seems way too simple. And the thing is we want to understand that there's a broader meaning to this that we don't want to overlook. And the Greek word used here is anagnosis. And it has with it the meaning of renewal, yes. But it also has the connotation of a renovation. And I think all of us here are familiar with the concept of renovation. That each of us, I think, at some point in our life that we've been through it at some time, maybe we might be we've been in the midst of a renovation, or maybe we're planning for a renovation in the future of something that we're going to do. Of we see, okay, in my house that there's things that are not working and need to make changes. I know with our house, it's the big one on the agenda is the bathroom, because there's been a lot of issues with that we want to deal with. But all of that, I think, we're familiar with the idea of a renovation. And sometimes the renovations we make are minor. That we just do a few things, brighten things up a little bit, change a few things around. But a lot of times when a renovation occurs, it needs to be extensive. Because once you get started, it is best to be as comprehensive as possible so that you're not having to tear things out twice. We think of that with it's the idea, if you're going to change walls at all, if you can, you should add insulation or upgrade the wiring and the plumbing at the same time, because if you decide, oh, I'm going to do that later, then basically there's a lot of stuff that you've wasted time because you haven't done it right and you have to tear it apart again. Now, if you could picture with me an old dilapidated house that you go by there and the paint is peeling, the roof has been leaking, the window panes are falling out of their frames, there's rot in various places, foundation is crumbling, the inside when you go in it has a musty smell, the electrical and plumbing is nowhere close to being up to code, and in every room all you find is gaudy wallpaper and shag carpeting. That you would look at that and people would go by and they would look at a house like that in disgust and they'd say, what an eyesore, somebody should just tear it down, it's just junk. But then what happens with this house, that it is purchased by someone else, who decides to invest a great deal of time and labor and money and effort in that house, a house which most everyone would say is not worth investing in. And this new owner starts from the foundation up, fixing what is wrong, that he hauls load after load to the dump, as he tears out the old carpeting, the old lath and plaster, the old plumbing and electrical. He completely guts the house and pretty well starts again from scratch. And he starts, after he's removed all the junk, that he starts from the beginning putting in proper plumbing, proper electrical. He doesn't cut corners, but instead he spends whatever is necessary to make the house not just livable, but also likable as well. But it might take him years, but as people walk by, they can tell something's going on there. Somebody's doing something there. And when he's finally done, and you could have a person that maybe hasn't been on that part of town for a while, that walks by and is just stunned. It's like, boy, somebody built a new house. And you say, no, that's not a new house. That's that old junker house that someone fixed up. And the person's just like, wow, how could a person do that? I can hardly believe that it's the same house. But that happened all because of these renovations that occurred. And spiritually speaking, we want to understand that we're like that old dilapidated house. That before we came to Christ, we were, as it speaks of in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, where in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That we fall after the way of this world. We fall after the deceptions of the devil. We were controlled by our lusts. And it took its toll upon us. That we corrupted ourselves in our thinking, in our living. We debased ourselves. And in doing so, we bore the terrible consequences of our sins. But the thing is when we trusted in Christ, we recognized our sin, we turned to Him in repentance and faith, that a transaction occurred, that we were redeemed, we were bought with a price, that we now have a new owner, an owner who, even though many would have kicked us to the curb, would have said not worth investing any time in, that He gave His life for us. And He says, I'm going to dedicate myself to investing in this person's life, working in and through them to transform them. So that, and that's what He desires to do, so that people who knew us before we were saved, when they see us now, they say, hey, something happened here. This person is not the person I knew before. And so the change thus occurs through this process of renovation, of the renewing of our minds, in which what is rotten, what is faulty, what is damaged is removed and it is replaced with what is clean and sound and beautiful. And that is what we see spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 22, it says that she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That it's this thought of a change, that there's a whole lot that we need to stop doing. That this is what we did before, it's corrupt, but that's who we were before. And it says that's what we're to leave behind. That's where we came from, but that's not where we're to stay. That's not where we're to dwell in. It needs to be let go, put aside. And that we're changed, that we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. We undergo a spiritual and mental renovation. And then we start putting on a new man. We start acting differently. We start treating people differently. That it comes as we... it isn't something where we try to change ourselves from the outside in. It's we realize we get to the root of the problem. We change ourselves from the inside out by the power of God. And we see as well in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Now it says, lie not with one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. That it's that thought that we're putting on a new man based on this renewal of knowledge, this renovation in our thinking, that we bring our thinking not in alignment with the world, but instead in alignment with Christ, after the image of Him that created Him, that we seek to follow Him and to think as He thought. And so, with all of this, that we want to understand what our position is and where God is seeking to bring us to. We want to see ourselves as God sees us and totally understand and submit to the plan that He has for us. And as we study the Scriptures, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak truth into our hearts from the Scriptures, that we recognize that God is essentially seeking to provide us with a full assessment of our lives. That He knows our hearts much more than we do. That He's done a full inspection. He knows where all the problems are, all the things that are not working right. And of course, we have a tendency to think, oh, I'm pretty good. There's a few things that could use some touching up. I have my kind of things that I struggle with a bit, but they're not that serious. And we think, oh, I'm in pretty good shape. Just a little bit of touching up, patching up, and I'll be okay. But God shows us, no, that we have serious flaws in the foundation and the structure of our thinking that need to be addressed. That there are assumptions, there are values, there are priorities that we have within us which are completely rotten and flawed. And we would like to say, no, it isn't that bad. There's a lot that we can salvage, just a fresh coat of paint, and everything will be good. But God says, no, your thinking needs to be gutted. That there's a lot that just doesn't belong there for you as a believer. That we need to make many trips to the dump with a lot of are just ways of thinking. And we need to be transformed through that. And as we do that, we realize that God has lined up for us all that we need to completely refinish and refurbish our thinking. And that's the thing, is that, and that can be a problem, is that what happens is we're doing things that are wrong, doing things that are hurtful to others, harmful to ourselves. We want to stop doing that, and we try to in our own strength. But what happens so often is we don't seek to replace it with anything. And it's so easy to go back into the same thing if we leave that vacuum. But the whole idea is that God is saying, yes, there's things you need to stop doing, but I want to replace it with something. I want to give you something so much better, so much more quality into your life that He wants to provide. And so it's learning to do that learning to realize that He provides us with quality materials from the truth of His Word that will bring soundness to our thinking, soundness to our lives. And as He works in us, as He starts to do that work of renovation within our hearts and in our minds, that we find that our priorities change, that our values change, that things that we thought were so important that we just devoted our lives to, that we think, wait a minute, that doesn't really matter anymore. That's not important. That we can, I know with myself growing up, that it was, for me, sports was always such a big thing of football and hockey. But then as things change, I realized, well, why am I getting, because you'd hope for your team to win. Of course, if they did, you were happy. If they didn't, you're mad and everything else. But at a point, you realize why I have no control over what happens. Why am I allowing it to get so upset and have me take out my frustrations on the people around me because my team lost? It's just learning things like that it's not worth getting upset about. And that's just one example, but there's so many other things like that, that things change. And as you grow, that you'll find that in the Christian life, that stuff that was so important to you, you say, wait a minute, that doesn't need to have the priority in my life that it has now. And we start pursuing after other things. We have different goals that sometimes we're so focused on getting ahead and and kind of keeping up with the Joneses, where sometimes we realize, no, I just need to be content with what I have and enjoy it, because I have all that I need and I need to be thankful for it. That with all these things, that we get that change in our thinking, and God enables us to see just all the lies of the devil which he has put in this world, and by which so many govern their lives. We see things instead as they really are. We think of in the book Pilgrim's Progress of the one place called Vanity Fair, where there's all these things to basically distract pilgrims from their journey of following the Lord. That there's so much that's out there that is distractions, and when the Lord helps us to see these things for what they are, see that they're not worth following, that we have a purpose in our life that we need to pursue, that as we see things, that we get, instead of being transformed by or conformed to this world's thinking and falling prey to these different lies, that we get correct information, we start making different choices, better choices because of it. We start treating people better. We start acting differently. That it's all part of that transformation process. And of course, are we going to be perfect this side of glory? We know that we won't. That it won't be until we see Him face to face that we're going to truly be like Him. But as we go through this process of renovation, it should be obvious to everyone around us that something is going on. That they should notice that there's a change. And as we submit to God's wisdom and His workings to renew and renovate our minds, that it's not just going to be something that's deep within us, it's going to be something that will be seen to everyone around us. And so thus, for us to be transformed, we need to get into God's Word. We need to seek Him in prayer, and we need to say, as David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That we ask God, okay, I need you to show me what I'm truly like. I need you to show me where the problems are, where the issues are, where things that I have assumed to be true for so long are actually false. Things that I've assumed are so important are actually irrelevant in my life. And as He does that, and as we allow Him to do that, that we may not like what He exposes to us. Just the same as sometimes you have an inspection for something, and a person finds all these things that need to be fixed, and you wish that you didn't know that, but now that you do, you know that you have to deal with it. And that's the thing. That's what he wants to do through His Word, is to show us where our faults lie, show us what needs to be fixed. Not to make us feel bad or to feel guilty, but He wants to show us our problems so that that's the first step to us addressing it and to getting victory in those different areas of our life. And so, as He gives His inspection, and it's going to be a thorough inspection, we need to submit to His wisdom. And and we have to realize that some of our thinking is going to have to go because it is totally flawed. That it is conformed to the thinking and philosophies of this world. That it's not something that we can slap a coat of paint on and make it good. And when it comes to making changes, it's just like when we do renovations in our house. We hope that we only have to do as little as possible and there's as little disruption as possible. But a lot of times, if the renovation is going to be done right, then there has to be that time of disruption where there has to be significant changes. And if we try to prevent that from happening, it's only going to prolong the process all the more. That sometimes it's better just to bite the bullet, to get serious. And in terms of renovating our minds, to say to the Lord, okay, Lord, whatever needs to be changed, I want you to help me to change. Whatever you say needs to go, I'm willing to get rid of that. I'm tired of suffering the consequences of my bad decisions and my wrong behavior. I want to change. And when it comes to renovations, it always kind of boils down for us a lot of times as to what we can afford. And we might delay the renovation or limit the scope of the renovation because we say, well, I don't think I can afford it. But it does come to a point, however, with a lot of renovations where we can't afford not to make the renovation. I remember working as a maintenance man looking after some apartment buildings when I lived in Trail, B.C. And there was one that it had, of course, flat roof, tar and gravel, but it had started to leak. And the person that owned it didn't want to put out the expense of putting on a new roof. So it would seem any time we got a heavy rain, then one person in the apartments would call him and say, my ceiling is, water's coming through my ceiling. And so every time what would happen is he'd call me and I'd go up on the roof after the rain to try to put a patch over where we thought the hole was, that the water was seeping in. And then he had a painter that would come and he would paint, repaint the apartment to fix everything. And I'd only worked there for some time, but talking with the painter actually found that it was over a course of essentially 10 years of him coming to make repairs before finally the owner bit the bullet and completed the necessary full re-roofing of the apartment building. And it's just something you think about. He was trying to save money, but how much more money did he actually end up spending because he didn't want to make the changes necessary? And when it comes to the renewing and the renovation of our minds, it isn't ever a question, can we afford to? Because ultimately we have God's resources at our disposal, that he has truckloads lined up of quality materials that he wants to place within us, within our thinking. It is rather that we cannot afford not to make the changes. That our own suffering and our continued poor testimony to the loss around us is something that should not be acceptable to us to persist in. And it's not necessary for us to do so. That we realize that we need to make the changes as God directs and empowers us so that we can find the joy and fruitfulness he desires for us to have, so that he can use us to make a difference in the lives of those around us. That we're not a burden to other people or a frustration, but instead we're a blessing and a help and an encouragement to others. That's what he wants for us. And so over the course of the next several weeks and months, that we want to go through the scriptures. We want to identify what is wrong thinking, and then as well what is right thinking. That we want to, as we've gone through a bit in Sunday school, the whole idea of developing a balanced and accurate biblical view of this world, and then applying that proper worldview to our decisions, to how we value things. And so our decisions are changed, and we're going to act differently from the world. That everybody pursues after certain things, they view these things are so important, and we would say, no, that's just for the now, that has no value or bearing upon eternity, that it's not worth following after. That with all these things, we start to make these changes. And I warn you with it, that there may be some things as we go through it that we bring up which we may not want to hear. That it's same as a person gives an inspection and says, well, there's dry rot, you have to basically renovate and gut your whole house, when you just thought, oh, it's just a little fix that I needed to make. But the fact is that we need to, that really, if we're going, the first step to solving a problem is first recognizing that we have one. And that's what the Lord through his word wants to do with us, that excuse me, as we read it, that he touches upon different areas, and as we're willing to submit to it, that we say, yes, Lord, I realize I have a problem with that. Please forgive me, give me strength so that I can overcome that. And the thing is, a lot of times we don't want to admit when we have trouble, that our pride won't allow us to do that. We think, no, I'm fine. We're kind of like cheeks about the church of Laodicea. They said, oh, I'm rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And What did God say? He says, no, you're wretched and poor and blind and naked, that you have such a need for God in our lives that we have to seek Him. We have to trust His wisdom. We have to allow Him to touch upon what is the root of our problems and not just have a Band-Aid fix. Because that's sometimes what we tend to do, is we suffer the consequences of bad decisions and bad judgment, and we're always trying to fix the problem that comes up, that always seems to recur, whereas God wants to get us back to the very beginning, to our thinking, where that's gone off track, of how we're following these paths in our mind that we've developed, that once we get started down that road, it always leads us the wrong way. It's essentially, you could think of it, and as they describe, as they understand the way the mind works with different synapses, different pathways that are developed in our mind, that as we follow different ways of thinking, they become cemented in our mind, and it can be very difficult once they're established to change them. But God wants to do that, and God wants to develop new pathways and help us to learn to think differently, to act differently, to not always follow the path we did before, but to have a new path in our life. And so for each of us, we want to recognize that there are fundamental changes to our thinking that need to be made. That there's assumptions that we have that we've always thought this is correct, this is right. But then when we look at the scriptures, we find no, that that's not true, that I misunderstood what was truly important. I misunderstood who God truly was. I misunderstood what He expected of me. I misunderstood what I was supposed to be doing with my life. And really, there is so much for us to cover. I try to be fairly comprehensive, but it's something even in your own studies, as you look into the scriptures, that you want to think of that, that the Lord is trying to show me things, that isn't something where I just go into the scriptures and I just read my 3 chapters a day, and then I say, okay, I've done what I needed to do as a Christian. No, it's like God wants to talk to me. He's trying to show me something. He's trying to help me to grow. He's trying to expose these problems that I might have and get to the root of the problem. And so as we study it, that we say, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me today? What's going on? I know I'm having issues. What is the root cause? And so often, as we study, that as the Lord knows what passage we're going to be reading, that He just kind of puts His finger on excuse me, on a specific verse or even a phrase within a verse. And it provokes our thinking. It gets us to realize what He's trying to do. And then so often there can be other verses that He can bring to our mind that affirm what He's speaking to us. And so we want to do that. And I pray that as we go through this and as you go through the scriptures in your own study, that this can be a real blessing for you, that you realize this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to be changed. And is what we understand, theologically speaking, as being the work of sanctification that He wants to accomplish in our lives, where He's separating us from sin unto Himself, that He's transforming us and conforming us to His image, that's the whole part of the work of salvation that He's seeking to do in our lives, from the point to the glory of when we first trusted in Christ to the glory of when we see Him face to face. And so there's going to be some difficult times of things that we realize that we'll have to confess that we're doing wrong, but it's as we get them dealt with, it's going to be worth it in the end. That there's going to be some tearing down, but it's so that we can be built up again properly. And it's just as with the renovation of a home, that when we're in the midst of the renovation process, it isn't always all that enjoyable. That sometimes we're kind of restricted. I know with us thinking of doing the bathroom renovation, we're going to have basically only one bathroom downstairs. and dealing with that for a while. And there's limits. Like, I know some people where basically they've had to move in with someone else because their house is being completely renovated. And so it's not that enjoyable. But once you get through to the end of the renovation, you recognize two things. You recognize, one, it needed to be done. And two, that it was absolutely worth it. Excuse me. And when you get to the end of it and you see what it's done and you find how your home is so much better than it was before, you say, yes, even though, yes, it took a lot of time and money and effort, it was worth it. And may the Lord help us all in this spiritual renovation and renewal process of our minds, that we would be patient and persistent. We would be willing to allow the Lord to have His way in our lives, knowing in the end that it will be absolutely worth it. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for what You want to do in our lives. We just pray Your blessing upon us, and just guide us into all truth, and show us where we're at, and help us that we might see what You want to change in our lives, so that we can truly be transformed and be used of You to be a great blessing and help to those around us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would stand with me, we're going to turn to one last hymn.